Welcome to the Mindfulness Monday podcast. I'm your host, Carly Jean Puck, and as a member of the local Mental Health Advisory Council in Cook County, Minnesota, I'm passionate about promoting mental well-being. Every Monday, we delve into the world of mindfulness and discover practical techniques to cultivate a more mindful and balanced existence, making it make sense for your daily life. Rotating between short practices and interviews with folks whose work intersects with mindful living. Time to get more mindful.
Thank you for joining me, Hartley. You came to my mind pretty early on with this project, so I'm so excited I get to talk to you.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So the Mindfulness Monday podcast has a bit of a theme about mindfulness, as you can gather. What does mindfulness mean to you? I'm curious.
It means a couple of different things. The first is not being in what I think of as zombie mode. So it means like actually paying attention to what you're doing, where you're doing it. Now, that's not to say that letting our mind wander isn't a good thing. Mm. I think there are absolutely times when we're just folding laundry and insight can just come and land on our shoulder because we're allowing our mind space to roam. But I don't think it's helpful for us to move through our days mostly on autopilot or exclusively on autopilot. And so not being in zombie mode is one thing that mindfulness means to me. The other aspect of that is being aware of and listening to the conversations in your head.
Mm.
So being mindful of who's talking inside your head and what they're saying.
Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, because it's not always our best selves that are doing the talking. And what's being said is not always true and helpful. But if we're not mindful to that, then sometimes we mistake that for reality.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I just realized that I got so excited to start chatting with you. I didn't let you really introduce yourself. Oh. So we're going to circle back. So I was like, yay, Hartley. But we're going to circle back to that. But I'd love to have you share a little bit about the work you do and maybe how mindfulness fits into that work.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful. Thanks. I'm a board certified health and wellness coach, and I help people identify, because wellness is like such a huge word, right?
Right.
And so much can fit up underneath that. Health is a component of that, but wellness is even a bigger, squishier, hard to get your hands around term. I can help people hone in on what they want, what really, truly matters to them. And then start identifying, okay, this is what really matters to me. What resources do I have internally and externally? How can I fill in any gaps that I might have? How can I start moving in that direction? And we work through it in a very purposeful way. So that's what I do as a health and wellness coach. And mindfulness plays a big part in that, is because you have to, every step of the way has to be intentional to get where you want to go. It's not going to happen accidentally. And so I help people be mindful in the moving toward those goals.
I love chatting with you about this because I think, and I've talked to past guests about how there's misconceptions around mindfulness and taking care of our mental health. But I love that you are connecting it with your work too. Do you want to make change in your life? Whatever that change is, whatever goal it is, mindfulness is going to have to be a component, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely. If you're one, you've got to be aware of, okay, here's what I want, here's what I don't want, just at the beginning to even know what direction to go. And then to inventory what you need to start down that path. That takes mindfulness to be aware of that. How do I use what I've got? How do I fill in the gaps? That takes mindfulness. And a big part of my coaching is what I think of as experiments. And so you come up with an experiment to do in your life. Okay, here's this thing I think I want. And so now let's try this and see if it get if it does anything. And if it does, great, we'll do more of it. And if it doesn't, great, we've learned something that doesn't work and we'll try something else. But that takes awareness.
Starting to think about, oh, okay, I'm on board. I understand this idea of mindfulness as being helpful to me. How do I start practicing that? And when I think some folks think of that idea, it's an hour-long meditation, or it's a big investment, or maybe it's going to yoga and you go to yoga and you're like, that wasn't really my thing. I guess mindfulness isn't for me, or XYZ. And I like that idea of they're still, that is it, those are experiments.
Yes, absolutely. And because the whole idea of experiments takes some of the pressure off, right? It's
Yeah.
experiments are they're about the process as much as the result. And we're always going to learn something from the process. So somebody goes to yoga and like you said, what if they don't like it? Does that
Right.
mean that mindfulness is not for them? Or does that even mean that yoga is not for them? What it may mean is that it wasn't for them that day at that time. Let's try something else, or let's try it again. There's a lightness and openness to approaching it in that way. And that's what I need. That's so like we bring to this what we need, right? And that's how I need to move through my life is it doesn't help me when I get real hard on myself. That doesn't help me move.
Yeah, which comes back to being mindful of those voices.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
What practices do you rely on personally, maybe right now, maybe just
Yeah.
today?
Yeah.
What mindfulness practices are your go-tos?
So right before this, I was in my chair. I just paused for a minute to like notice where I was and to notice what I was thinking and to listen to the voice of, okay, now this has got to go well. This has got to, in fact, it has to go better than what has to go perfect. Because if it doesn't, then maybe Carly's not going to like you and you're going to sound stupid on the podcast. And there's going to be all kind of terrible things if you are not captivating every moment. Ooh, okay. But by taking that 90 seconds to hit the pause button, I was able to hear that. And I don't want to say accept or reject, but notice
Just
that didn't have to
knowledge.
be me. Just acknowledge, whoa, here's what I'm thinking. And that means that's not a particularly useful frame of mind to go into this with. So let's shift. But so that's a go-to. Being, I think, like a lot of us being outside is a huge boon to that because it allows me to engage my senses, to use the beauty that's all around me in a to partner
Yeah.
with this place that we live and be so grateful for that. And be so grateful. Man, I can smell the earth waking up. How wonderful is that? And when I take the minute to do that, then I'm not worrying that I'm going to screw up on a podcast.
Right.
I'm noticing that it's beautiful. And now things are different. And then, like in that moment, a switch is flipped. And maybe it doesn't stay flipped, but I know every time I do it, I get better at flipping that switch from the expectations of perfection or whatever to, oh, I'm here, all is well.
Yeah. I jokingly call myself a recovering perfectionist, but it's less of a joke and more reality,
Yeah.
honestly.
Yeah.
Where for you have you identified, because there's lots of reasons, but where do you think some of those pressures of perfection, whether it be with mindfulness, wellness, taking care of ourselves, anything, where do you think those things are coming from?
So, I just finished this training course called Positive Intelligence. It was really interesting. And part of the theory of this operating system is how they refer to this program, is that the idea that kind of the voices that we referenced earlier, they gave them names and they refer to them as the saboteurs. And everybody's got a primary saboteur, that's the judge. But then the judge has henchmen, and everyone has different henchmen that help this guy out. And I think that the perfectionism, the striving from that, is the whisperings. This is my current frame of thought. It's the whispering of that saboteur and the voices that say, you're only worthy if.
Conditional.
Yes, everything conditional on that, instead of your best is good enough. And you can move through your life without constantly grading yourself everything, every moment. That's actually not helpful. So that's where I think some of that's what I'm experimenting with, right? Right now is trying these on and seeing how that fits with my experience. And I'm liking it so far. It's proving to be a useful framework for me right now.
I remember doing some of that work in my yoga teacher training. We read a book, Making a Change for Good. And we did some experiments with that where we basically named those voices as well. And the kind of productive Polly and eye level and alliteration, but
Yes.
stuff like that to name it. And
Yes.
at first feels silly, but then you start to realize that it's very real. It's a
Oh.
very real thing that we don't realize is there, that chatter, those negative, that negative self-talk. Like you said, until we're mindful about it, until we call it out and say, oh, where's that coming from? Why did a voice in my head just tell me that I had to be perfect and captivating on this podcast? I know Carly doesn't expect that. Oh, okay. I took a second to question it. That's pretty powerful to question the things because we get that inner voice, those negative self-talk, they're coming from somewhere. And I think a lot of times in our culture, it's a badge of honor to be overwhelmed and busy and burnt out.
Yep, that's how we know we're doing it right. If we feel horrible,
Ugh.
then that must mean we really care.
Ooh.
That must mean we are taking it really seriously. The worse we feel might be an indicator of how serious we're taking this. And that is an exhausting way to live. And with the naming of it, I think there's a power in that it allows us to separate ourselves from it.
Yes.
So like when I can name the voice and say, oh, so I named my judge after my high school freshman algebra teacher. And so when I'm
Shout
feeling
out.
but when I hear her tell me things, I'm able to say, oh, that's you.
Wow.
That's not me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to believe you.
It's powerful.
It is that separation, that gap, creating that gap. And maybe that's where the power of mindfulness, part of where it comes from, is the gap that we create. Because new things can happen. There's space now in that gap for something new to happen.
And that the lesson I keep learning again and again. I wonder how many times in my life I've me mentioned this on a podcast or in an interview or something, but that more than one thing can be true at the same time.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
how beautiful and annoying is that? It's easier when it's this or that.
Oh, man, we want the binary.
We do. We do. But that's not how the world works, turns out. Why do you think people come to mindfulness practices? What do you think brings people there?
The first thought that comes to my mind is because we're hurting in some way. I'd have to ponder that to see if that's actually what holds, but it seems it's a desire for something else. It's like this can't be all there is feeling. This can't be the way I was designed to feel all the time. This can't be the way I was designed to interact with other people. And so I think that maybe it's a place of discomfort, a seeking refuge.
And
Because
it
we can always
feels
pick it back up, right? If
right.
we at the end of the at the end of the whatever we're trying to do, if we want to go back to being angry or fearful or whatever, we can always go back to that place. And oftentimes we just automatically do slide in,
Right.
but I think it comes from a place of wanting something else.
Mindfulness for me sometimes feels like unlearning.
Tell me
I
more about
think
that.
I'm so lucky to get to work with young people in the community doing yoga and mindfulness at the schools. And when I talk to kids, young children, about what it feels like to be anxious, and then how do we deal with that? How can we use our breath to help our minds and our bodies? And I love the idea of talking about that with young people because that would have been really helpful for me at a younger age to talk about my anxious little self. But I think I'm unlearning some of the, it's a badge of honor to feel overwhelmed. And relearning, it's actually okay to want to experience joy, and it's okay to feel overwhelmed, but you don't have to want to feel that way. That's not the goal. And I think mindfulness helps me do that, helps me question things.
Yes. Yeah. And the questioning is where the unlearning has to begin, right? You've got to have that opportunity to even form the question. And then when you can begin to try to find an answer for that, that's when you decide whether you keep or you set down the learning. But I think you're exactly right. There's a that mindfulness allows us to begin that process.
I think we've talked a lot about the benefits of mindfulness for ourselves as an individual. What do you think about the effects of mindfulness, like those ripple effects? How does it ripple out into communities and into the world?
That when we're able to begin to change, or to, even if we don't change, but to hit pause and react, behave in a choice, in a way that springs from choice versus habit or reflex, then we create and give permission for other people to do the same thing. It's then that kind of can also get into a whole discussion around boundaries of the first time that somebody says to the world, I don't know, and I'm not going to an I can't answer you right now, so I'm going to take time to think about this. Then now other people have permission to do the same thing. So we're all modeling for each other all the time what's okay to be and do and have. And when we choose a mindful response, we make that okay for other people. And then when it's okay for them, then they're going to make it okay for somebody else. And the big hope would be that at some point a critical mass would be reached and it would be okay. The best, the my favorite definition of culture is Seth Godin's, and he says that it's the statement, people like us do things like this. And if we're able to have a community of people like us respond to things like this in this way, then we've created a culture of mindfulness. And I give you kudos for this podcast helping to do that. So good on you, because you've created a space for people to be able to start to think about this and contemplate this and see how they want to incorporate it into their own lives and how it could impact our community.
Thanks, Hartley. I appreciate that.
No, thank you, because this took work. I appreciate you doing the work.
Thanks. I enjoy it and also feel the more I learn about mindfulness, the more I take care of myself mindfully and try and show up in the world mindfully, like the better life gets. And
Yeah.
that it's not a linear path, of
No.
course, right?
Yeah.
It never is. But the idea of being able to share that and foster more of that conversation that has helped me so much is just, I love it.
Yeah. The when we're able to give to people the things that we want for ourselves or wish that we had, there is something really incredible that comes from that. And I think maybe that's one of the biggest gifts we can give is, oh, here's what I want for me. Or here's, like you said, how much a discussion about what anxiety looked like and how breath, just breathing could have impacted you as a kid. You're giving that. And you knew there was a need there because you experienced that need. And so you're pouring yourself into that pothole. And somebody else's ride is going to be smoother because you're doing that.
That I love the imagery of that. Truly. Thank you. Do you feel like that's what pushed you maybe into the space of coaching?
Oh, I'm super clear on that.
Can you say more?
Part of what I love about coaching is it is an automatic space that doesn't very often just organically, like where you get to talk to somebody and their whole purpose, their whole agenda is your betterment in the way that you define it. So when I am with a client, my foundational belief is that the person I am with is an absolute expert in their own life. And it is not my place to come in and tell them what to do. I know stuff about stuff. And if they want that information, I can provide that stuff to them. But it's not my place to put it on them. And so that is a truly unique form of conversation. And I have been fortunate to experience it in my life. And I have felt the places where I didn't have it and I wished that I had. And so I am very clear that I am in it to provide that feeling for other people. I want people to know what it feels like.
That's powerful. And there's so you can be on a social media app or online for 5 seconds and you can find a lot in the coaching space online. A lot of good things and a lot of bad things. And I so appreciate that perspective of working with someone. And I think that's mindfulness too, right? Already expecting somebody else to be the expert in their life feels like a form of being mindful. That means that we are all the experts on our bodies, on our minds, on what's going on. That takes some mindfulness to even think that of others.
Yeah, and it absolutely, and it forces, not forces, but it to do it well, it requires that I be mindful of my response, because there are going to be places where my desire, because I think I know something, like, oh, here's what you should do. Okay, I got the thing. I'm fixing to tell it to you, and you're going to do it.
And if you don't do it, I'm going
to
be upset.
Yeah. So I have to be really awake to, or try to catch myself when that my inner expert starts to want to thump on the podium and tell somebody what they need to do. So it requires mindfulness from me in that way.
That's so beautiful. I also have an inner expert that wants to share and share a lot. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank gosh for mindfulness. That voice isn't the one talking the most.
It takes effort sometimes. And I don't always catch her, except in retrospect. Got to reel her in a little better, or ask permission, because the inner expert, she does know stuff. Mm-hmm. She's been alive a long time and has studied a lot of stuff. But she's only when she's invited.
And that reminder that you just gave, which I don't think we can be reminded of enough, is that it's not perfection is not the goal. It is not that you do this mindfulness practice, you meditate, you take a mindful 90 seconds, you whatever it is, insert something. That is not the like check the box, right? Because in the beginning of this journey, I thought I was going to check a box someday. I was really looking to be like, get this off my to-do list almost. I'm like, silly.
Yep, I evolved. Check.
Check? I'm mindful now.
I'm self-actualized. Check.
Yeah, no, haven't checked the box yet. And I think that it's off the to-do list. It's not viewed in that way. But it definitely, I think you can come in with that, because we approach a lot of things like that as something to tackle versus some just coexist with.
Oh, I like coexist. Yes. Because there's the saying that it's about progress, not perfection. And that's true. Yes. Mm-hmm. But there's also in that statement, there's an inherent expectation that we must always be hustling.
Yes.
And if we're not always making progress, then we're slacking. And that just ties back into what you said earlier, this whole idea of always striving for perfection and always being in overwhelm, being a badge mm-hmm. of honor. So we got to always be making progress. Do we?
I'm tired sometimes.
I am so freaking tired sometimes. Mm-hmm. I sure don't have perfection in me. I don't have progress in me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just need to be where I am and let that be okay for a minute.
Yes.
Or maybe forever.
What advice do you have for folks that are listening that are into the idea of mm-hmm. mindfulness or see the benefits, but either don't know where to start or are maybe a little trepidatious? What advice do you have?
I'd say be gentle first of all. Don't go into it like you did, like I did, with, okay, that I'm going to sit down and I'll be able to empty my mind for minutes at a time. No, yeah. I can't do it for 2 seconds at a time. So go easy on yourself.
Yeah.
They're skills, they're habits that can be formed. Go for micro mindfulnesses.
Love that. I love that.
For me anyway, I can't speak for other people, but for me, it often feels more useful to have multiple micro mindfulnesses throughout the day. Because then they like a string of pearls, they create a thing of their own versus, okay, I'm going to do this one thing for 30 minutes. But if I don't do that one thing and I don't do it right, then somehow it feels like a failure. Whereas if I can do it multiple times, little times throughout the day, then the benefit for me is larger in that. I would also suggest, like I said, for me, the emptying my mind thing doesn't work so well, but the guided things do work well.
Yes.
So try experiment with that. Keep experimenting until you find what works. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to look a certain way. There's no way to do it right or wrong. There's just the doing of it. And maybe that's probably why they call it a mindfulness practice, right? Because we're just practicing. And sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's going to not, but we keep coming back to it. And it's the keep the coming backness that matters too, not just the getting it rightness.
Do you have anything else you want to share with listeners that I maybe didn't give you space to do?
Let's see. I think this feels really good. It feels really complete. I don't have any other burning shares except to thank you again. And I'm sure something's going to occur to me as soon as we, as soon as we log off, and I'll think, why didn't I say that? I screwed up. And then it'll be an opportunity for me to be mindful about my internal dialogue. So, but right now I'm feeling pretty good, pretty complete.
Thank you so much for joining me. This was a great discussion. I can't wait to connect again for more.
Oh, I look forward to it. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to an episode of the Mindfulness Monday podcast. If you're enjoying this podcast, you can help us get it into the ears of more listeners by rating and reviewing it wherever you're listening on your favorite platform. Contact WTIP and let them know that you enjoy the podcast so we can keep creating content like this. See you next Monday.